It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Thank you for joining me once again for It's a Good Life. Now, last time we left off in Ephesians chapter 1, and we left off with verse 13. It says, in whom you also trusted. That's those people who have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth. The word of God goes forth, and it's sharp. It's quick. It's powerful. And it touches the heart of individuals. And it touched my heart one day when I knew I needed a Savior. And I knew that Savior, the only Savior, was Jesus Christ. And I asked Him to come into my heart and save me so that I would be with Him one day. It says that you heard the word of truth. When we hear the word of truth, it does something for us and to us. As a saved person, it helps us to understand how that we are to serve God. We are to do the things of God that He wants us to do. And we should live the life that He wants us to live for His honor and His glory. It's not for our honor. It's not for our glory. It's for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Heavenly Father in heaven. Remember, Jesus came to glorify the Father. And as we glorify Jesus, we're glorifying the Father. But notice that He came to glorify the Father. Well, he's no longer here in person. So who's left? That's us. Those individuals who named the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we're here. And so therefore, we're to carry on the work that Jesus Christ started in this world. Now, we can't save anybody, but He can. And we're to let people know that Jesus saves and that He's willing to accept them the way they are, whether they're rich, poor, good-looking, ugly. It makes no difference who they are, men, women, boys, and girls. Jesus Christ is able to save anyone, and He wants to save everybody. It makes no difference what you've done in your life, what you're doing right now. Jesus wants to save you. Remember, Paul the Apostle, who wrote over half of the New Testament, was a murderer. But he turned out to be the one Jesus Christ would use to preach the gospel not only to the Jewish people, but also to the Gentiles. And he's preaching to us through the Word of God. Now, this is the Word of God. It's God-breathed. But He used godly men such as Paul the Apostle to pin down the words. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It reaches to the innermost being of the individual, first letting the person know they need a Savior. And then as a Christian, that Word goes to us and goes in us and lets us know how we're to live as the children of God. And I've said it before, we're to bring honor and glory to the Heavenly Father. Well, notice verse 13 again says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. It's by and through the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It says, the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. It's the good news that you can be saved, that you are saved if you've trusted Him. Well, you can be saved if you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Well, notice here it says, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We're saved forever. No one can take that from us. We're saved forever. We're on our way to heaven. And nothing can change that. Because the next verse says, which is the earnest, the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, until the praise of His glory. We are purchased. We have been purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because we've been purchased, once again, it's an inheritance. And we go back and read that in the part of this chapter. We went through that. And we've inherited. But notice it's the earnest of our inheritance. In other words, it's a guarantee that a down payment. That's more than a down payment when you get down to it, because it's already been paid for. But this is, once again, a seal. The Holy Spirit is a seal the earnest of our inheritance. In other words, he's there, and he's guaranteeing our redemption, our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession. We have been purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ unto the praise of his glory. We have nothing to glory in today except the cross. We glory in the cross. Thank you, Lord, for dying for me on the cross of Calvary, for saving my soul, for my inheritance, Lord. You have so much for me. You have given me so much. You have given me eternal life, and I have an inheritance that one day I will be with you personally, and I'll be able to thank you personally for saving my soul unto the praise of his glory, verse 14 says. Praise God today for all that he's doing for you. Verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now, Paul the Apostle is writing to the church at Ephesus here. He's writing to those individuals. He said that after he heard of their faith in the Lord Jesus and love to all the saints, he's praying for these people. Well, I got news for you today. I believe when he said this prayer, when he was talking to the folks there at Ephesus, I believe he was praying for you and I as well. Because it says, wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all, you get saved. Now, if you've been saved, he's prayed for you, I believe. I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul said, and love unto all the saints. Well, we've certainly gotten saved once we've trusted Jesus Christ. But do we have love for all the saints? Do we treat all the saints the same? Well, that's a touchy situation. You say, why is it touchy? Well, think of those individuals who do not believe exactly the way you believe. Think of those individuals who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, but maybe they differ with you on certain aspects of the Word of God. Maybe they haven't grown as much as you've grown, and they don't understand everything that you understand in the Word. Now, let's reverse that. Maybe you don't know as much as they know, and therefore, you don't love them like you're supposed to love them. We are to love the brethren. We are to thank the Lord for our brothers and sisters in Christ, no matter, once again, as we think of our brothers and sisters in Christ, it's those people who have trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now, you may not like an individual as a saved person, that other saved person, but you need to love them. There's a difference between liking and loving. You may not want to have a cup of coffee with an individual who says they're saved, but you need to love that individual and let them know that you love them in the Lord. And in verse 14, and it goes on in verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith, we're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. And because we're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, we're to do as God wants us to do. And Paul says, and love unto all the saints. And he says, I've ceased not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now, Jesus Christ, before he left this earth, he prayed for you and I. He prayed that we would be kept by the power of God. And we are. We're not going to be separated from his love. And the verses that I've just gone through, especially verse 13, says we're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. And Paul the Apostle, he's also prayed for us. And he did not cease to give thanks for the people who were serving him during his time on this earth. And I believe that when he prayed this prayer, that he was praying for you and I, not only for those people at the church at Ephesus, but he was praying for you and I. But the greatest thing that you need to remember is that Jesus Christ prayed for you, that he not only saved you, but after you got saved, that he prayed for you before he left. He told the apostles, he says, I'm not praying for you only. He says, I'm praying for all of those who will believe on me through your word. Your word, he said. What is their word? Why, it's the word of God. The word of God that was penned down by holy men of old. And these men who penned down most of this Bible that we're reading, the New Testament, these men They walked with the Lord. They knew the Lord. And he used them to pin down his word. God breathed. These men wrote in the word of God what God approved of. The book that I have in front of me is the word of God, the King James Bible. And he used the holy men of old to pin down his word so that we, mankind, could come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And God bless you today if you're studying the Word of God, because the Word of God is not only quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword to pierce the innermost being of an individual, letting that person know they need Jesus Christ as Savior, but it speaks to our heart as saved people as well. And it helps us to understand who we are and our responsibility to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we're never going to be able to repay him for what he did for us on the cross of Calvary. There's no way that we're going to be able to do that. But we can sure bring honor and glory to him by serving him. We can bring honor and glory to him by praising God every day that we have eternal life. And it's through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we can bring honor and glory to him by telling other individuals about the love of Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When we proclaim that, we're bringing honor and glory to the Son. We're bringing honor and glory to our Heavenly Father. And may I quickly add that if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the only way that you can bring honor and glory to the Heavenly Father is first to make him your Heavenly Father. And the way you do that is to admit you're a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also goes on to say, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you want the Father in heaven? Do you want God to be your Heavenly Father? Then you must trust his Son, who came into this world to seek and to save those who were lost. If you've never trusted him, you're lost right now. You do not know Jesus Christ is your Savior if you've never trusted him as your Savior. Now, we hear a lot about repentance. Well, not as much as we used to, but repentance means that you're changing your mind, that you've had a change of mind, that you realize you can't save yourself, that there's something better than what you have to look forward to right now, and that better is heaven. That better is having Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That better is one day being able to see Jesus Christ personally and thanking him for saving your soul. Repentance means that you've changed your mind. You can't go to heaven on your own. And you're willing to go God's way. You're willing to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Lord, I know that I can't save myself. Please forgive me of sin. Lord, I pray that you would just use me as one of yours, and may one day I see you personally. And Lord, I know I will, because I'm trusting you right now as my Lord and my Savior. And once again, if you'll pray a prayer like that, the prayer's not going to save you, but Jesus will. Get serious with him, and he'll get serious with you. And one day, I'll see you in heaven because you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God.